Luke chapter 22. We've been very carefully making our way through Luke's gospel. For those who are visiting with us this morning, we appreciate being here. Luke was not only a physician, and therefore pays careful attention to detail, as you hope your doctor does, but he's also a Gentile as well. So some things he writes from a little bit different perspective than the other gospels. Luke chapter 22. And we're reading from verses 54 to 62. Luke 22, 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I'm not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your gracious goodness to us. Lord, for your mercies, for your tender kindness, which is never failing. Thank you so much. Lord, we just pause before we come to this portion of your word so that our hearts are receptive, so that we will accept what this is, what you want us to understand and to embrace. Lord, we pray for those who are usually here but are not, that are traveling, visiting different places. Lord, keep them safe and bring them back home safely. For, Lord, they're gone for many reasons. And we just thank you that they're able to make these journeys. And, Lord, even to have those who have come to be with family and friends here, even here this morning. We understand that. Thank you, Lord. So keep them safe. Lord, for those who are serving you in different places, serving the cause of the gospel, we just pray your continued working and mercy to them, for your word is powerful. And even from our midst, as Betty Slagle is still over in Indonesia with family, may she be a blessing to them. And bring her home safely too, Lord. And Lord, for those who are serving our country, and even those who we know, and others too, keep them safe. Protect them. Let those who truly belong to Jesus be a true light in those dark and serious places. And again, Lord, we pray for those in authority over us. We pray for our government. We pray for the Christians in it to be able to stand strong. And Lord, for the sake of the decisions they make, that it would be of benefit to us as a nation and not to any particular group of people. Because, Lord, you've granted us a gift of freedom. And so, Lord, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of your church, we do pray for them. And thank you for all the freedoms and liberties that you allow us to have and to enjoy. So Lord, may we use our opportunities as you give them to us for the cause of Christ. Again, Lord, all of our lives we bring to you, all the various needs, whether it's joys, Lord, or whether it's burdens, continue to pray for your mercy, for your grace in those bodies that need physical help, Lord, for your continued strength, and for our souls and our spirits, Lord. Touch our hearts, please. Give us minds that will listen, wills that will be open. Lord, help us to understand. Open the eyes of our hearts. Help us to know your word, to be able to glorify you. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The hardest lessons are often the ones that we have to unlearn. So as you think about that, you'll agree with it immediately. When you think you're something and it's like, oh, you mean I'm just wrong in this? Yes. Well, it's hard to unlearn. Confidence. That is what this portion is about Peter. And there's a danger of being overconfident. Now, realistic confidence is what I can actually do. I can be confident of that, what I can actually do. Unrealistic confidence is what I cannot. So you don't want me to work on your car. I'm just telling you up front. So don't give me a call on that. Because it's not that I wouldn't have any confidence. I don't, because I don't know. But confidence, realistic, unrealistic. Peter had a lesson to learn. The setting of this now, it's in the middle of Thursday night. This is Passover week in Jerusalem. Jesus is going to be on the cross the next day. This is the middle of Thursday night. And now things really start to roll. So we've come to this part. Been through the Garden of Gethsemane. He's been captured. A large group that came, over 600 Roman soldiers, all kinds of religious people there. He's taken exactly what the religious Jewish leaders wanted, led by Judas. But this is about Peter. Now, the story of Peter, though, in his denial, his failure, starts before this. Because it doesn't take long to read these verses. And so you get an idea of, wow, it just went boom, boom, boom. Just kind of went right along. Even though it says in verse 59, after about an hour. So even Luke gives an indication that there was a stretch of time here that was going on. So I'd like us to look to see what led up to this, because there are some things that lead to failure. So I want us to go back in this chapter to verse 31, where the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Now, this is at the Passover meal, earlier that very same evening, and Peter caught, he was listening, when Jesus said, verse 32, and when you have returned, which means you're going to leave and you'll come back. He caught that. When? And so Peter says, oh, not me, Lord. I'll stick with you. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 26, because we'll have to look at some of the other accounts to really see what's going on. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, Remember, that was at the meal, the Passover meal together, before going to the garden where Jesus was captured. Matthew 26:30. And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Now that sounds familiar. So some have said, well, did Jesus say it in the garden, or did he say it in the meal? Because here they're at the Mount of Olives. The meal is over there. So the simple answer is, both places. He said it twice. He said it once to Peter in the meal and later out in the garden. Twice, a second time. The first point about Peter is, when you read his responses, he boasts too much. Now, this is not my inspired outline. I found it. It's good to kind of put myself into it. Peter has a condition of too much I. If you heard it from what he was saying, I will not. Verse 33 here in Matthew, he gets into the trap of comparing himself with others. Even if all are made to stumble, not me. Comparing, which 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12 says, when you compare yourself with others, that's not wise. Not wise. And by the way, you ever notice in this, or Jesus saying, here's what you're going to do. And then what does Peter do? He argues with the Lord. He argues with him. Peter forgets one important truth, is that the Lord Jesus Christ has never been wrong yet. But he just sort of misses that. When Jesus says, you will, and Peter says, I won't. He boasts too much. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, at this point, Peter has an inflated estimation of his own capabilities. He thinks of himself in a way he really shouldn't. Inflated estimation. He boasts too much. Also in Matthew chapter 26, should have stayed right there myself. Matthew 26, reading at verse 36. Then Jesus came with him to the place called Gethsemane, because that's a specific area on the Mount of Olives, and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? See, Peter boasts too much, and then he prays too little. Jesus, at this point, took Peter and James and John, the two sons, but in verse 40, he spoke to Peter. He spoke to Peter, because Peter was taking a cat nap as well. So much for Peter's claim to stick with Jesus like Velcro through thick and thin, to prison, to death. The Lord was agonizing in prayer in the garden, as we saw last week, and Peter could not even stay awake to pray. It is dangerous to rest when we should be praying. So he boasts too much. He prays too little. Let's go over to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. This is a short part of John's account. John 18. At verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward. Here's the troops, verse 3. The officers, verse 3. The Pharisees, chief priests, there. Went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck off the high priest's servant, and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. See, Peter not only boasts too much, prays too little, he acts too fast. Peter is a ready, fire, aim type of guy. He's watching. I mean, why would Peter do this? There's a large group there, extremely large group, and Peter's watching all this. So why would he do this? Because when Jesus said, "Whom are you seeking?" Jesus of Nazareth, he said, "I am." The he has been supplied. "I am." And for some reason, I won't get into it, they drew back and fell. And Peter must have been going, "Wow, well, if I get in trouble, Jesus is going to take care of me." And so out comes the short sword, long dagger, and whack. Boast too little, pray too much, act too fast. Now let's go back to Luke 22, where we began. Because that's all led up to this. Luke 22 at verse 54. Having arrested Jesus, they led him, brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. See, Peter boasts too much, pray too little, act too fast, follow too far. Followed at a distance. See, the setting now is they're in a courtyard. The courtyard belongs to two large houses, one main courtyard. On one side, it's Annas, high priest. The other side, Caiaphas, high priest. Whichever one's father, whichever one's son, they're together. Large courtyard in the center. Large courtyard. With a gate available to the street, but it's all one huge private residence. Hey, the priest back then, good living. Made lots of money, all the wrong way. Anyways, in the courtyard, Jesus is inside one of the houses. We'll get to this eventually, but he's inside, and it's kind of a mock trial. Basically, what they're doing in the first place, since it's illegal for the Jews to have a court until it's daytime, this is in the night, they're trying to conjure up the charges that they can give against the Lord, to arrange for it, to accuse Jesus of something, because you couldn't just take Jesus to the Roman governor and just say, "Here, crucify him." "Well, what do you do?" "We don't like him." So you need a reason. So we'll see that, but they came up with it. And so in the courtyard, Peter's by a fire with many others. Now, How did Peter get in? Because there's a gate. And we learn, that's what we learn from John's gospel, that actually one of the disciples somehow knew someone of the high priest or his family or someone. And so, oh yeah, you can come in. And this guy can come in too. And so there's not just Peter, there's John as well inside. But this centers around Peter. So Peter's by a fire. And all this happens in the space of 2 to 3 hours. This is more drawn out than just one thing to the next. So the first is a servant girl who probably is the keeper of the gate. And then the second, some say is a servant girl, or some say is a servant, but they're the ones who say, you're of him, you belong to him, you're with him. No, I'm not, I don't know. And so, just to take a step back, here's Peter with his bravery. Peter who thrashed out in the midst of the crowd in the garden, who's now cowering before two servants. He's just wilted. His bravery is gone. And then John tells us that actually this third servant was a relative to the one whose ear he cut off in the garden. That's from John's gospel. And Matthew tells us, well, and in verse 59 here too, it refers to it. He is a Galilean, verse 59. It's his accent. He's from Galilee. We can tell by the way he talks. And so what comes out of Peter's mouth next, according to John's gospel, he begins to curse and to swear. So by his words, you're a Galilean. No. Now, cursing, swearing is not exactly what you think of as we think of cursing and swearing. The curse would be more of, may God curse me if I'm telling a lie. And the swearing would be, I swear by God Almighty that this is the truth. I think it's more of that than what we think of. He's trying to say, I'm telling the absolute truth. Excuse me, sorry. But it's his accent. Now, the question arises, why is Peter there? Why is he in the courtyard? Is he curious? Is he loyal to the Lord? I came across a thought, I really kind of embracing it. I think it's because Peter thinks he has something to prove. It's the Lord who said, before morning time, early morning, rooster goes, you're going to deny me. You will deny me. And he's told him that twice. I think Peter's inside, he's a man. He's got something to prove here. That he said, I will not, I will never. And so what? So he's there that he would stick. And then we can see how he dug his hole. And with every denial, just simply dug it deeper. And then early morning comes, verse 61. The rooster. Early, early morning. Now the Lord turned and saw him. Yes, because they're done with Jesus inside, and they're taking him through the courtyard. Because now they can have a legal trial. It's daylight. So they're walking him through, and it says, he looks at Peter. Don't ask me what kind of look. It doesn't matter. The very fact that they made eye contact, he looked at Peter, and Peter saw. And that's all it took. Peter remembered, he got it, verse 62, wept. Went out, wept bitterly. Denial. Different than Judas' response to go out and hang himself. But the story doesn't end there. So quickly, end this with Peter. Because Just because you failed doesn't mean that you're a failure. The story doesn't end there. Because in John 21, don't have to turn there, Jesus has rose from the dead. He's at the beach. I think it's Tiberias, or whatever. He's at the beach. He's having breakfast at the beach. And there's Peter and others fishing, and he invites them in. There's a meal prepared by the Lord. He starts talking to Peter. And in that, he says, Peter, do you love me? Which he says three times. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? I do. Tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Three times. Once for each denial. And Peter never forgot that. I don't know why. I'm having a hard time this morning. He never forgot this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 speaks of us who believe in Jesus as being kept by the power of God through faith to salvation. Kept by God's power. So one final thought about Peter's lesson. Peter came from a totally different background than the Apostle Paul. Totally different. Peter was a fisherman. Paul, a Pharisee. Saul, Paul. Peter, simple life, simple man. Paul, a Pharisee, not simple at all. Hundreds of laws, rules to memorize and master. Peter, strength was hauling in a full net of fish into the boat, taking it out of the boat onto the beach. Be sort of like strength. Yes, I not only shot the deer, I put him on my shoulders, I walked over 5 miles of hills back to the truck myself. And the dog didn't help at all. Strength. Simple man, simple life. Paul, strength. The law. Personality, persuasion. That's Paul. That was Saul before he became Paul. However, Peter learned later what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10:12. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul writes, oh, with that in mind, then when I am weak, then I am strong. That's when the Lord's strength shows up. So Peter learned then his lesson to trust in the Lord with all his heart and to not lean on his own strength, his own understanding, his own wisdom, his own ways, to not put his confidence in that. Timeless lesson. Never stops. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this. Let's pray your blessing upon this, Lord, that we may just always, always trust you. Even if we belong to Jesus Christ for decades, we will never get beyond trusting you. For your glory, Lord, for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnal to number 6.